tribal members from across the Puget Sound area are in Tacoma today learning a dying language. They're getting a two-week course in Lushootseed, the language that gave us such place names as Snohomish and Seattle. At one point, nearly 12,000 people spoke Lushootseed. Today, there are a handful of speakers left, including Amber Hayward. She's a language instructor for the Puyallup tribe. And she says Lushootseed started fading decades ago when native children were sent to Indian boarding schools.
In these boarding schools, English was the only language that was allowed. If people spoke their tribal languages, their children got taken away or the parents got thrown in jail. So that was actually something that legitimately happened here on our reservation, and that was part of the beginning of our language going away. And so then when you had the children return home from boarding school, some of the parents discouraged the use of the Indian language in the home because of the fear and the shame as, you know, new cultures coming in. And some people stood their ground and said, no, we're going to keep this language in our lives. And there are families today where Lushootseed never fully left, but maybe they weren't first language speakers.
Yeah, this is not just a love of history and languages. This is a painful story, too.
It is.
So whatever the painful history, Amber, we know that sometimes that happens, that languages go out of use. Why is it so important to you now to sustain Lushootseed?
Because of the trauma that was implemented and taken our language away from us, there were many other things that were taken away from us as well. We had to be relocated. We got land taken away from us. So there was a lot of things that we got taken away, our particular rights. And so as a group of people throughout our history, we've always tried to get those rights back, what rightfully belonged to us. So language is no different than trying to get some of our land back, you know, that belonged to us. We want it back. It's ours. So our tribe went after that land, got our land back. So for Lushootseed, that's just another area that we want to reclaim and get that back as well to heal our people over the trauma that we've gone through over the years.
As you said, there are generations of people who never learned how to speak Lushootseed, so you didn't grow up hearing it. I wonder what you thought of the language when you first started trying to speak it.
I've always just been kind of a history nerd, so I'm always asking questions of my grandmas and just trying to find out more information about our people, what happened to us, you know, where did we come from. And when I started learning the Lushootseed language, it just kind of opens up your eyes to a whole different world and a different kind of thought process even. We're just wired with that English world, and that's what's in our brain. And then when you start learning a second language, and not only that, the language of my ancestors, it really gives you an insight into what our ancestors were doing, what they were thinking, how they treated other people. I mean, it literally ties into all of that. So it was just a natural gravitation for me.
What did you learn when you looked through that window through Lushootseed language? You talked about thought process as a different way of thinking.
Absolutely. So just for example, in English, we have a word for hello. That's how we use to greet people in English. In Lushootseed, there's no word for hello. That's not how we would greet somebody. You would say, how are you? That's the initial response that you would give to somebody when coming up to somebody. If it's somebody you didn't know, you would say, where are you from? Who is your family? Just so you can get that connection and know where your people came from, or if you're, you know, oh, okay, well, that's your grandma. I know. Okay, I know who your grandma is. And then it's an instant connection to somebody. So that's just a tiny little insight on the differences in English and Lushootseed and the way of thought. That was my original introduction to two different worlds going on.
And languages also have a physical part to them. How did it feel in your mouth speaking it?
It's very hard because in English, we already have our muscles formed in our throat and in our mouth to those English sounds. So when we start a new language, you don't have those muscles formed in your mouth. And instantly, I just got insecure. I'm like, I can't make that sound. I can't make that sound. And then I was just told, just keep practicing, just keep practicing. It's not going to be perfect. It's like working out. You're not going to go bench 300 pounds on your first try. You have to build up to that 300 pounds, and then eventually you'll get it. So there was just so much that we had to work through. And now I feel like I'm getting quite a bit better.
Well, you had some practice help from your kids.
Yes.
How did that happen?
My kids, they are amazing. I just ended up speaking language in the home and just I was like, okay, I'm gonna do this. We're gonna go all morning. I'm not gonna speak English. And my kids are like, why are you doing that? Speak English. I don't understand what you're saying, you know? And I'm like, well, no, this is what we're doing. We're gonna speak Lashutsi in this house, and if you don't want to speak it, that's fine, but I'm gonna speak it. And then eventually it turned into, my son answering me back in English, and then eventually he would tell me what to do in Lashutsi, and now he can completely have a conversation with me in Lashutsi. So that's my 9-year-old.
What did you start out trying to say to him that he didn't want to talk back, didn't want to say back?
He was getting ready in the morning, so I'm in my bathroom, which I established as a language nest, an area that English is not allowed in. So for me, I'm in there myself, self-narrating, like putting on my makeup and brushing my teeth. So in the kids in the morning, I can holler at them from my bathroom. So I have to do that in Lashutsi. So I'm ochap go to the bathroom, tsagdi subcha, tsagwo subcha, brush your teeth, wash your face, put your clothes on, get going, what do you want to eat? He wasn't having it. And then eventually he saw that I wasn't going to budge. And so then he got on board, and that's where we start our foundation at.
My kids have been learning about Northwest tribes. Is there something that would be good for me to teach to them?
I think my favorite one for anybody that has children is I love you. Oh, shabit seed ched.
Oh, Shabit Seed Ched.
Die ha. That's good. Yes, that's perfect. Oh, shabit seed ched. And that means I have unconditional love for you or compassion. So in English, we have the word I love you for everything, right?
Yeah.
Or I love this taco.
Yes.
I love this pop. I love that movie. Oh, I love you too, son. You know, in
Yeah.
English,
That's a good point.
that's one of those. It is. So in Lashutsi, people say, "Oh, how do you say I love you?" So for us, it means I have unconditional love or compassion for you, and to where it's not required that that love is reciprocated. So for
Oh.
your child, you love that child unconditionally, no matter what that child does, you will always love them. You're not expecting that love back in return. It is just, you're almost like a slave to them. That's that compassion and unconditional love. Then we have a different word for romantic love, and then that breaks down to sai chuf. You are my very desire. So it's a lot harder
That
to
sounds
say. So
harder.
people are like, I unconditionally love my husband. Yeah, I'm not going to say that other one. So yeah, that's just another example of English in Lashutsi and the different ways we think about life and the worlds that we live in.
When your kids are your age, Amber, what do you hope things will be like when it comes to the people using Lashut Seed?
When my kids are my age, I really do believe that they will be able to go anywhere on our reservation in our community and have conversations with other people in Lashutsi. We want to make it to where you can come on our reservation and you're going to hear Lashutsi. Just like if anybody goes to France, what do you think you're going to speak? You're going to speak French, and it's expected when you come on their land. If you go to Mexico, you're going to speak Spanish. It is expected to speak that. So that's what we're working toward. If you come on our reservation, you'll be expected to hear that. You will be expected to speak it. You're gonna learn Lashutsi. You're gonna learn how to at least greet and departures in Lashutsi. So even if it's just a little bit, a few phrases, we're happy with that too.
Amber Hayward is a language teacher for the Puyallup tribe and a Lashut Seed speaker, and she's teaching her kids and other people to speak that language. And if you want to learn more about Lashut Seed, how to speak it, we're tweeting out a link to some videos that'll help. Thank you for tuning into The Record, or as Amber would say, he's quo, something like that. That's thank you to a woman. Thank you to a man would be, hey, Shabbat.